You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello, and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 29th of December, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. We've been away for 2 weeks because Dennis has been ill. He's still not quite up to his usual standards. I mean, it must be quite awful for him being ill over Christmas, but I'm very pleased to say that we have actually got him here today. Dennis, how are you doing today? And I am so glad you made it tonight.
Well, I was determined to do it because obviously I'm not 100%, but I just felt like that, you know, we've had a break and I just wanted to do it. And so here I am.
Yeah, I put out a music show last week. You know, I can't do the show without you. We've got to have you here.
Very kind.
Well, I did have a fun playing a few tracks. And actually, just before we do get into the show tonight, I'll say we have got a new music show beginning at Radio Aryan on Tuesdays. It's going to be hosted by Lord Goyhammer, and it's called The Forest
Can
Brothers.
I have a request, please?
Well, what's that, Dennis?
It's an ode to the Dying People by Saga, which unfortunately you didn't pick last week, but is as nationalistic as you can get.
Yeah, I guess we haven't heard that for a while because it used to be on Don Black's Stormfront radio show every day.
But
I haven't heard that for a while. I'll pass that along to Lord Goyhammer.
And please do.
It's the Forest Brothers Audio Insurgency. That's what the name of the show is, and it will be on straight after Grandpa Lampshade on Tuesday next week. I think we did this last year, Dennis, as well, actually.
I can't remember past 2 weeks now at the moment, so you'll have to remind me.
Well, this shouldn't be too taxing. Last year, what we did, we had a look back through the Truth Without Radio episodes that we've done over the last year, because there's a lot of subject matter in there and a lot of topics that we've covered. It's a shame we haven't got Messerschmitt here with us, because at the beginning of the year, we had a lot of Axis war heroes that we covered, and it would have been good to get him along to talk a bit about them. But so what I've done, I've left out the Axis war heroes podcast that we did, and I've picked out some of the more interesting subjects, and I thought what we could do is just go through the year and talk a little bit about them and jog each other's memory and jog the memory of our listeners. Any new listeners that find them interesting, then they can go back and check out these episodes. And right back there in the beginning of the year, in January, we obviously talked a bit about Donald Trump because it was his first month in office. But also that month was that was when you first saw the Denial movie, Dennis. And we did a podcast on that and on David Irving. And we often get asked about David Irving, don't we? What are your thoughts on David Irving and the Denial movie?
Well, obviously, I've found out since that Spielberg was a huge financier of that court case, along with one or two other prominent Jews. He really, in my opinion, made a mistake in thinking that he could, in a British court, get the justice that he obviously deserved, but it's not the level playing field he must have thought it was. And since then, obviously, he's got some huge financial debts in losing the case, and has moved slightly on some of his findings. Now, whether this is due to these huge financial debts and Jewish pressure, who can say? But two and two make four in my book, always have done. And it was a movie which they were always going to make to try and crucify David Irving, and certainly the movie went out to do such a crucifixion. And so at the end of it, it was a big mistake. That was my opinion.
Yeah, I think he underestimated the British justice system. He believed in it. He believed that he would actually get justice. And he didn't get justice. And you had members of the Israeli parliament that were there. And loads of money that were being poured into... I forget the name of her. Sylvia, is it? Not Sylvia. I forget the name of the woman
Lipstadt.
He was against.
Deborah Lipstadt,
that's it. She had lots of money behind her. And
that's right.
since then, I think we talked about this in the podcast that we did on it, about him going back on what he'd said about the Holocaust and claiming that there may have been a bit of a Holocaust now. There may have been a few gassings. And his reasoning for that, I think he said it was at the Eastern Front or in the Baltic States, something like that. And the actual evidence that he comes up with is pretty flimsy. It's requisitioning for certain items, but those items could just as easily be used for digging trenches and other normal wartime exploits. But they could also have been used to bury bodies of Jews. But there's no conclusive evidence either way. And it just seemed to me to be very, very flimsy piece of evidence to say that that has turned your whole idea of what happened on its head. And I think maybe he's getting on and he wants to leave a bit of a legacy. So he's
My own feelings is that knowing the price of a high court defeat, if the Jews came along and said, look, you know, we can smooth one of the things over if you will only just say this or only just say that, then that is my gut feeling. But I can't say it. It's true. It's just a gut feeling.
And it really shouldn't detract from all the other work that he's done up until now. Because you can say, I mean, 10, 20, 20 years of fighting the good fight and a year of sort of quibbling a little bit on it. And I mean, what he's done far outweighs any denial of the truth of it or whatever you want to call it. I mean, if we have the truth, we're the ones that are speaking the truth about it. They're the ones that are denying the truth about what happened. It's, you know, it's really Orwellian the way it's been turned around with we're the supposed deniers.
Orwellian is the word, I think.
Yeah, and we've talked about him recently about how he's never actually exposed Freemasons.
No, that's a question I was asked, on YouTube, and it's again, it's not a question I can really answer, but I only surmise that the elite of this country are taught totally different to what the common people are. There's a two-tier system, and they're taught things that we are not allowed to know, and consequently, you know, the Camerons and the, you know, all these others, they're all ahead of us in knowledge. And I think David Irving was obviously, you know, part of that private school system, and again, two and two make four.
Yeah, part of these elites, so he's not going to criticise an organisation which is made up mainly of those elites. But again, shouldn't detract from his work. But another subject that we covered was gatekeepers in January, particularly Wikipedia, and the way that they claim to have all the world's knowledge, and how anybody can change that. So it's supposed to be a democratic system, and the democratic system is supposed to guarantee that you're actually getting the truth, and of course you're not getting the truth there, because it's run by Jews, and anything that's critical will get removed.
There's a YouTube video I point people to, and I've actually took down the audio and added it to communism by the back door at some point, where it says that, you know, we Zionists learn how to change things on Wikipedia, and we want to keep it Zionist control. There's no denial. Another one they've actually taken over is Metapedia as well. That is now in Zionist control as well.
I'd heard that. Do you know any more than that about it?
I heard this about 6 months, maybe a bit longer now. And there's some information on there which had taken off before. Real, real good information. And when I went back to get it, it had gone. And consequently, all the other material, which is controversial to World War II and people finding out the truth, vanished as well. So I do believe it has been overtaken.
Well, what happened there then? Did they put it up for sale or something? Or did somebody buy lots of shares in it?
I don't know the ins and outs of it. All I know is they took control of it.
That's a shame, because it was a useful source, that one.
It was good, yeah. But they obviously saw it as a good one. And work to get rid of it.
Well, we also talked about gatekeepers like Alex Jones and David Icke, and to be honest, they do seem to have improved a bit. Both of them, they are certainly on the right hand side of the spectrum now. And both of them talk about the immigration agenda and the replacement of white people. It was only a couple of years ago. You wouldn't hear them use the word white. That was racist.
Well, I tend to go the other way. I tend to think that they've jumped on the bandwagon, and without even mentioning Israel or the word Jew, are consequently trying to stir up a Muslim-Christian war instead. And the other one is Paul somebody or other who works with InfoWars.
Paul Joseph Watson, yeah.
Yeah, and our friend over here, sorry, my memory's...
Tommy Robinson. He's thinking of Tommy Robinson.
Yeah, who never mentions the Jews. And the organisation that he works for, which is a YouTube channel, is funded by Israel. And also the previous party that he worked for was also funded by Israel. So 2 and 2 make 4.
Yeah, he's never shied away from saying he supports Zionism and supports Israel. I guess Alex Jones hasn't either. I think you're completely right that they have jumped on the bandwagon. I would say that Tommy Robinson has been anti-Islam all this time. But the fact that it is now the bandwagon for people like David Icke and Alex Jones to jump on just tells you what success we are having. If we've got...
Well, it's funny because... Sorry, what's that guy called?
Paul Joseph Watson. I'm just saying, if we've got people like that jumping on our bandwagon, that says our bandwagon is the one to be jumped on, doesn't it?
Well, I saw an early video of his when he was first starting out, and he was all mentioning Zionism and everything. And one of my episodes of Coming by the Back Door, I think it was a trailer, and I used him where his exact words were, someone was asking him about Zionism, etc., and his co-op who was waiting next to him, oh, here we go again, yeah, here's the Jew question, and all this kind of carry on. And he's denying that there's any evidence of Jews taking part in this migration of Europe. And it's just a blatant, you can't say anything else, he's just a gatekeeper.
It's like Cernovich as well. Yeah, he will just tell blatant, outright lies that he knows are lies, and you can see on his face that he knows he's lying.
Yeah.
And just says it to suck up to them, or just to be controversial, or try and claim things like Richard Spencer is an agent, knowing full well that he isn't.
Well, the shekels must be good for him to do it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and the penis pills. Must be making a lot of money selling their penis pills. That seems to be the one they all jump on, doesn't it, selling them? Well, next up, in February, we had a bit of a surprise. A rabbi confirmed that Dennis was right. Can you recall what happened there, Dennis?
Yeah, for some reason, this rabbi, and he was a very important rabbi because another rabbi said he was very important. It was quite prominent. And he had just come to the conclusion that he realised why Hitler was annoyed at the Jews, and he openly stated that he hadn't realised. Now, whether this is true or not, I don't know. I mean, I don't live in Israel. I mean, I don't want to talk over there, but he stated that he never realised that the Bolsheviks were Jewish and everything that they were doing, because obviously he's speaking from a religious angle, and he's saying that the Bolsheviks and communists are atheists and that they were destroying the church in Russia and in other places in Europe, and this is why Hitler was aggrieved with them, which is exactly what I was saying all along.
Well, this is just it, isn't it? It's facts that we're talking about, facts that can be checked, but not even the Jews are aware of these things. They think they're so solid on when they're saying that Hitler was a bad guy and he was trying to kill all these Jews, and when they actually look into it, they realise it's not true. You have to commend this rabbi for actually speaking out and saying, yeah, we have been wrong about this. Hitler was just trying to protect his people.
And well, that's right. The rabbi that presented him, he was in a state of shock because he believed all this, well, he'd been told before, but now this rabbi, which is above him, is speaking about it. He's just in complete shell shock because he's learning the truth himself.
Didn't Netanyahu say something as well this year that could be construed as Holocaust
denial? Well, the thing is about Netanyahu, he's not religious. He's not a religious Jew, so he is an atheist. So that takes me back to the Kazars, and whatever he says, then got to take a pinch of salt.
He's such a strange-looking character, isn't he?
He certainly is, yeah. You know, lights up when he sees Trump.
Yeah, he certainly likes Trump. He just looks so inbred to me. Really, yeah. Inbred, strange creature he is. I guess we don't see so much of him. America sees a lot more of him.
I didn't like to say coming in by the back door, put a few things in there. And I think one of the things he once said were, you know, somebody was, I think it was Bill Mayer, that Jew, he was asking him about the success. Why do they have such success in Israel and short wars, which we can't master? And his answer, simple answer, could be because we have America.
Well, at least he's honest.
Well,
America
backs him up.
Can't
deny that one.
Pays for all the IDF, pays for all the weaponry, stands up for them in the United Nations. Just to go off topic a little bit, what about the United Nations vote? All voted against America for the first time ever. And Nikki Haley was there saying that she's taking down everybody's names and America's going to stop funding them if they're not going to vote alongside America. How can that be democracy? That's admitting that these countries are all voting for America because they're being paid to. At the United Nations about
it's true, Jerusalem
thing.
You've got to swear to Israel when you join the Congress. I just think it's a bunch of communists who want a new world order, just infighting. I really do.
Well, the United Nations was set up straight after the war, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Communist ideals. And UNESCO, I think that was set up in Moscow.
That's part of the old system, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main one. Well, moving on. Into March, we did a podcast called Celebrity Weapons Against Whites. And it was mainly dealing with Hollywood actors and musicians and how they're used to corrupt us and to set a bad example. I mean, you've got lists of tons of them, Dennis, haven't you? These corrupt.
Well, practically everybody who's making money in the industries of Hollywood or the music industry, I've got to be part of the system, and that part of the system, I believe, is Freemasonry. I don't think you can go past a certain door without, you know, I don't think anything happens to you. I think you're just left, you know, to just linger where you came from. But if you want a successful career and you want to move on, then you've got to go through this door, and this door is Hollywood and Freemasonry. And I've come to the conclusion lately that everything is owned by the banks, even the media, even Hollywood, even the musical industry, the banks own everything.
Well, I think it became really clear last year how all the celebrities were singing off the same hymn sheet with Donald Trump, because every single one of them came out against Donald Trump. And you had the ludicrous idea of these female pop singers who dance around with giant dildos simulating sex on stage, talking about how Donald Trump was talking terrible about women and shouldn't be allowed to even be considered as president because of the things he says about women and degrades women. And yet the very women that were saying this are the most degraded sluts, Hollywood sluts, that have ever existed.
Yeah, and clamoring for a Clinton victory.
Yeah, every one of them was supporting him. And when I was young, the music scene, it seemed to me that it was quite anti the government. It was quite anti establishment, but that whole mask has now slipped and the music.
And it is a mask, I think.
Yeah. It's all pro establishment.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
So it's all pro establishment now.
I think it always has been, really, but it's just been, like you said, been a mask. And I've come to the conclusion that the world is a huge, big stage. And these, since World War II, there's certain things gone on where some of these politicians are even better actors, some of these Hollywood actors. And it's, you know, the goal has never changed from 1945 when the World War II ended. The goal has never changed. A one world government run by communists, run by an elite, and which is the bankers. And no matter what has gone on in between, it's either been pantomime time or whatever. But the goal has always been on the right road. Whoever's in power, whoever's been shot, whoever's been whatever, you know, at the end of the day, the whole world now is under this system. I think there's maybe three or four countries. I think it's Cuba. I think it's North Korea, Iran, and another one possibly. I can't remember. Cuba, I don't think it's a problem because I think Castro always got on with Rockefeller. But certainly North Korea and Iran are two countries what don't want to go under this one world system. And consequently, if they don't, they'll either be invaded or there will be a war anyway. So, but all this has led from 1945 has led to this small number of nations now, almost completing a world takeover.
You won't hear any genuine alternative voice because any genuine alternative voices
eliminated.
Yeah, they just wouldn't have a record deal. They wouldn't be allowed to speak on the television. And the next bit is to do with this, I think, is to do with the delusion of democracy and how it's correct. Really just the bankers' politics of division. This idea of splitting us behind parties. Do you want to talk a bit about democracy and why it's a delusion?
Well, I think it's, today it's more associated with the Middle East, where the Bushes and the Clintons, we have to take democracy into the Middle East. And democracy is one of the biggest illusions going, which people fall for all the time. They think democracy is good when all democracy is an alternative to communism. Because with communism, there is no illusion. You just don't vote and you're told what to do. But with democracy, you get an illusion of freedom by giving an opportunity of voting. But if anybody believes for 1 minute that their vote counts for anything, then they're delusion themselves. So consequently, democracy is just another way of fooling the population rather than going to the basis of communism. And again, since 1945, we've had a soft communism simply because there has been no alternative there, because the World War II saw the end of any military alternative to take them down. And so they've been able to go at a nice pace. Nobody's going to interfere and everything's been nice and soft. So the mass of people don't realize. And now we look at, European Union, and people just haven't got a clue. They just haven't got a clue.
Well, it's the rule of the mob, isn't it? Even if they got democracy right and it wasn't interfered with, it would still be the maximum number of people that won the vote. And the maximum number of people aren't the elite. They're the most most uneducated group. The most qualified group to make decisions is the elite, the smallest group, the minutest group.
Yeah.
So even if democracy was to be working properly, you would still get decisions being made by the least qualified amount.
Which would be wrong. The mob. Yeah.
And also, it seems to me they try to sell this to you as if, isn't it great? You've got lots of choice. You've got all these different parties you can vote for. I don't want choice. I want the best. I want the absolute best. I don't want a lot of choice. I don't care if I have a lot of choice of crap. I just want the very best. And that's what you should have. That's what fascism is. One party doing the best for the people.
For the people.
And it's the opposite of democracy. It's just a complete sham. Well, then we got to April, and you finally announced that you were going to be making a new documentary series.
That's right.
So how is the secret Masonic victory of World War II going along at the moment, Dennis?
Well, over the past few months I've learned some things, obviously myself, which I hadn't heard of. At the moment, what I want to do, and I know this is going to annoy a lot of people, but without the knowledge of the coalition, the German coalition of nations, what went into the Soviet Union to destroy Bolshevism and protect Christian Europe, people just don't understand this. And if they don't understand this, then they don't understand World War II. So I'm going to try and make an episode where there's absolutely no doubt, which isn't going to be easy, but, no doubt I'll put all my efforts into it, because whether you're Christian or not doesn't really come into it. The Masons themselves have always been against Christianity and against the Catholic Church. And even more so in the UK, where Catholics have no rights at all when it comes to, being prime minister or being head of the police or being head of the army. They're just not allowed. And this is because it's a Masonic country. And I have no doubt it's the same in France. And it's probably no doubt it's the same in America. But I can only speak for the UK. And like I said, this secret Masonic victory, which actually was a secret Masonic victory, and it goes on to show the build-up of places like Mexico, which then went on to fund the Spanish Revolution. The bankers again had taken control in 1917 with the Russian Revolution. And if anybody thinks that the bankers didn't control Stalin during World War II, are again delusional. I do believe at one point he did break away from him and he was killed for it. But certainly throughout the World War II, they played good cop, bad cop. Everybody thought that it was the Russians that were the bad guys, when in actual events after World War II prove otherwise, where the West then instigated the Holocaust of the German prisoners of war, and also the sending back of the prisoners back to Stalin. So they could blame him for doing whatever he did with them, which is usually kill them.
The truth is, they were all working for the bankers, apart from Germany. Apart from the people we're told who were the bad guys, they're the ones who really did break away from the banks and did get rid of the Freemasons and achieved a regime which was like the one that all these conspiracy theorists are asking for and dreaming about.
Yeah.
You know, getting rid of the banks, getting rid of the Masons.
Nobody asked why did they come back after Germany fell? Because Hitler got rid of all the occult societies, he got rid of all the Freemason societies, and yet over that five-year period when the Allies took control, slowly and surely everybody come back again. And yet I can pick 100 documentaries on YouTube of propaganda saying that the Nazis were occultists and nothing about the Allies.
Well, this is another theme that's been going through your documentary series, is the way that it's all been an attack on Christianity and Catholicism in particular, as a particular type of Christianity that they are opposed to. And I think you've shown that in every episode so far.
I get criticised for it, but I can't help telling people the truth.
Well, it's a side to history that they haven't heard before. They're not used to hearing it.
Well, it's been hidden, and the reason it's been hidden is because after World War II, obviously there's no military opposition, and so they can quite easily go along trying to propagandize everything, saying that Nazis were evil, saying they did the Holocaust. So every Christian backs away from them. And as soon as you say the Nazis were Christian, shock, horror on the Christian faces. Never mind pagan faces.
Well, a lot of it is people just assume that Christianity has always been what it is today, what it's been since the fall of the Axis powers. And I think what you've shown is it was quite different 70 years ago to what it is today. And these people that were fighting against communism a lot of them were fighting against communism because they were committed Christians.
Yeah, that's right.
And the only committed religious people we hear about today are ISIS.
Yeah. Yeah. Or these American evangelist Christians who are all Israel.
Yeah, and who want to go out and fight for Israel, fight the Palestinians. Yeah. Well, you also included a fair few bits about World War II in the series as well. And the next thing that we looked at was Dunkirk and the movie that came out about Dunkirk and our thoughts on it. Because there's quite a debate about it, because some people would point this out and say that this is evidence that Hitler was working against Germany's interests and he was working for the bankers because he let the British all return back to Britain. But I mean, I've pointed this out so many times. He did the honourable thing because he had Britain at his mercy. And in the rules of war, if you have somebody at your mercy, if you've won, they either have to accept being a slave or they have to accept death. And a lot of the time in history, people would accept death. They would fall on their sword. And this is the point that it came to. And instead of imprisoning them all or killing them all, he allowed them to go back and expected them to be grateful to him forevermore for allowing them to live. He gave all those British servicemen, he gave them their lives. And Winston Churchill, instead of honouring that fact that Hitler had done that, continued to prosecute the war against him, which is really, really dishonourable, disgusting behaviour of Winston Churchill, because the war could have ended at that point.
It should have ended at that point. I mean, there was no need, as Hitler said. Even his own people are now going to suffer if this war continues. And he doesn't want to see his own people suffering. He doesn't want to see nations such as England and Germany fighting. But he felt they were cousins. But obviously the elite of the people who were instigating the war, Churchill and behind Churchill even, saw it differently. And they, what they saw, I believe, was Europe being the financial system being banned, and that is never going to sit happy with them because they want, as we say, a world new world order with their financial system of usury in it, and Hitler would never allow that. So they were never going to, in my opinion, anyway, they were never going to actually accept peace, unless of course they were going to, you know, stab somebody in the back doing it.
I think Hitler's mistake was to not realise just how dewed Great Britain had become.
Yeah.
He didn't realise.
But there was no internet then, was there? So it's not as easy as what people think. Like, but certainly he was a clever guy and way ahead of his time and far more informative than a lot of people. He informed all Europe about the Jewish problem when you look at it. But without the internet, you can't figure it all out, can you? With the internet.
He didn't realise just how dishonourable that Winston Churchill was, that he would continue to prosecute the war after that. Hess flew over here, Rudolf Hess flew over here expecting to meet with royalty and try to put an end to the war. And he's mocked and ridiculed for that. But what that shows is at the time that the Germans expected that this to be something that would be possible for him. But he believed, whoever it was behind Rudolf Hess coming over, whether it was Hitler or whether it was others, they genuinely believed that he would be able to meet up with royals or people that actually had power to do something in Britain and put an end to the war.
Yeah.
Didn't realise that.
Obviously, there was a... This shadow
Jewish
government,
control.
I mean, I'm also looking into the city of London as well. It's getting more and more intriguing the more and more I look at it. Where they control the finances of Britain, and even if Britain, the Parliament of Britain decided to go to war tomorrow, they couldn't go to war unless they got the finances from the City of London, which is it's not even a part of England. It's a place where it's the financial system of the world, and to me, all roads lead back to London from Wall Street and from the Vatican. That is the place where all this is thought up and where we are today.
Well, that we talked about when that came about as well in May. We talked about Oliver Cromwell's New World Order. Of course, it was Cromwell that allowed the Jews back in, and then it was William of Orange that gave them the tender to the Bank of England that then started off the City of London and gave the City of London the powers of the crown. But it all goes back to Cromwell. And
the war against the Catholics again.
Catholics. And the war in Ireland and the war against the Welsh. I mean, the guy was an absolute menace, he did. That's where it all came about in Britain. That was really the downfall, because we'd got rid of the Jews in 1290. Good King Longshanks got rid of the Jews. And we had a Jew-free country from, 1290 to 1600?
Yeah.
So 300 years of being Jew-free. And then Cromwell comes in, kills the king, beheads the king.
And
ever since then, our royalty has been corrupted and we've been under the Bank of England. So you can trace
and there's been a satanic feel to Britain ever since, and I don't say that lightly, because I have a certain feel for things. I had in a certain industry where I worked before, where feel played a big part in it all. And I've never ever felt anything else about England other than being non-religious. And I don't care what an Anglican says. I don't care what the royal family say when they go visiting churches at Christmas. They ain't religious.
Well, it was regicide, wasn't it? Regicide. Mm. They killed the king. And instead of going, okay, they thought that there was corruption. There was some corruption in the Roman Catholic Church. There was some. But what they should have done is gone back to the original traditions, not come up with an entirely new church altogether and ignored all of tradition, which is what they did. And there was a split in the church. The church split into Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox in 1050. But right the way up until 1050, it had been one united church. And when we had this Reformation, that's what they should have gone back to, is what we had in the first 1,000 years, not come out with something entirely new, which is what they did. I've never been able to understand that, never. Well, we also talked a little bit about evolution and the theory of evolution. Neither of us believes in that, do we? What are your reasons for not believing in it, Dennis?
To me, it's another. See, Britain, like I said, is a stalwart anti-religious country to me, the elite. And so when they bring out these theories of dinosaurs and evolution and, you know, my monkeys, my uncle, you know, I know exactly where they're coming from. They're killing God. They want to kill religion. They want to say to people, look, you know, you can't believe in this hocus pocus. You've got to believe in this hocus pocus. And unfortunately, a lot of people fall for it. And it's spreading around the world. And slowly and surely, Christianity is taking a back seat. And but until one of these people can step forward and explain these divine actions, what happened throughout history, and tell me why and who did them, then I'm sticking with the Christianity.
Well, I think the explanation of the creation in the Bible is the most believable one. I know some people will say, well, how can you believe that? But everything had to have been created at the same time. Nothing can exist without everything else. And if you look at, say, trees, for instance, trees have to have worms in existence, and the worms have to eat the dead trees to create the earth, and the trees need the earth in which to survive. So you need the earthworm, you need the earth, and you need the trees. They all rely one on the other. You couldn't have the tree evolving at one point in time and the worm evolving at another point in time, and neither of them could exist without the earth, which is what they need to survive in, these worms and the trees. And yet the earth itself is made from thousands of years old dead trees. So everything had to be created at the same instance. You couldn't possibly get one thing evolving at a time. It's just not logical. It's the equivalent of, you know, having an organ growing on its own somewhere. You don't. You have a whole body with all the organs and everything that makes up a body in one. And that's the biggest evidence for me that says that evolution can't be true. And what the Bible describes is everything being created all at once. And that seems believable. And the fact that we have a creator, we quite clearly have a creator. Even the DNA code, for instance, a DNA code has to have a creator behind it. There has to be an intelligence behind it because it's a code. And none of these people that come up with evolution, they ever explain what started it in the first place. Somebody had to flip that switch.
And they want to change it as well, because they do, I believe, a lot of Freemasons do believe in God and want to actually eliminate God from our planet. And by certain things, certain actions, and what this is one of them, they'll do the best. I mean, NASA is another one, for instance, which does its best to eliminate God, another Freemason agency. So it's not a surprise to me, but a lot of it does stem from Britain.
Well, also, if evolution says that man is nothing, no different to any other animal, we're just an animal. We're nothing better than that. We're no closer to God than any of the other animals. And when you think of that, well, it doesn't matter if man dies out then, because there are all these other animals there. And give it a few million, billion years, and another man will evolve. So it doesn't matter. It makes everything seem meaningless. It takes.
And they want to change everything. Which they look as God created, they want to change. I mean, you know, when they're pushing homosexuality, transgenderism. I mean, Lewis is now the story. Lewis is quit the selling clothes, you know, with a gender name. It's now neutrally gendered. There's no boy or girl, and all this is all satanic and all what runs against what God ever wanted about nature.
And they're doing away with boundaries, saying that the boundaries are just arbitrary and there's no need for them. So we don't need to have separate genders of man or woman. We don't need to have boundaries between innocence and being an adult. And that's one of the things that I've noticed they have taken away. Well, they've taken innocence away from children. Children are no longer assumed to be innocent. excuses in these cases. Well, just let me finish a sec. In some of these cases where you've had children of 10 or 11 years old have been raped by Muslims, they say that the excuse has been, well, the Muslim didn't know that they weren't consenting. It's child cannot give their consent. They're innocent because they're not capable of giving informed consent. It doesn't matter what they say. They can't give informed consent at a certain age, and they're doing away with that.
I've got my own theory on that as well. That when these rapes took place by the Muslims, I don't think, I'm pretty sure the government knew about it, but I don't think they interfered on it because it's all part of what they wanted anyway. We go back to the Kalergi thing where they want to race mix all those anyway. So that to me was just an excuse when they said, "Oh, we're frightened of being racist." The police, I believe, the police were told not to intervene. Again, we can't prove it, but that's my own thoughts on the thing. The other thing I just wanted to mention was the fact that I saw a video of a pregnant man the other day, and he's giving birth. They've finally got the technology, and he's decided that for 5 years he's not going to say whether a child is a boy or a girl. It's just going to be a bee, whatever it is. Again, we're going down this satanic route of eliminating anything what's good in nature.
So it's a woman with a plastic surgery appendage. It's a man. So it was born a man?
Born a man, yeah. Pregnant man.
Well, how did that happen? Did they implant a womb in him? Or?
Dean's an expert, I'm not sure, but I saw the video of him talking, saw the video of him pregnant, and saw the video of him saying that he's not going to actually name a child being a boy or a girl for 5 years.
Well, I would make a guess that that's actually a woman that's had plastic surgery and hormones to make them look like a man, and legally they're called a man because that's what goes on now. You can just change your gender, and she's got pregnant, and is now saying that she's a man that's pregnant. I would guess, because I don't think it's possible for them to transplant wombs into men. I don't think that's quite possible yet.
I'm trying to find the video and send you on to see what you think. From time to time.
But it does all boil down to people thinking, men, humans thinking that we're gods and that we can mess around with things like that.
Yeah, and that's all that's needed. And it will be to their, sort of say, you know, you don't mess with nature because it will come back on you.
And this is the thing: if they can take God out of creation, they can say that man is his own god, and man can mess around with genetics, and man can say whether someone is a man or a woman, and people go along with it. And it takes innocent children to point it out that actually, no, that's not a woman, that's a man. That's a man in a dress.
Exactly. It's very sad, to be honest. It's a sad time.
It is. Changing the subject slightly, but in the same month, in the month of May, we did a podcast on Horst Mahler, who was claiming asylum in Hungary, which I knew that was going to fail because I know what the European Union is like.
Yeah.
And they handed him straight back over to Germany. But he thought that he might get some help there. I mean, the poor guy had his leg amputated, and to go back to prison in that state is tantamount to a death sentence, really. So there was a lot of publicity surrounding this case, and yet Hungary turned around and said, well, we've got to obey the European Union laws.
Yeah, wash his hands of him, didn't they, really?
Well, this is the thing. They'll accept people claiming asylum from all over the world, saying, oh, I'm being persecuted in Somalia because I'm a bum bandit, and they'll accept them in, or they'll accept people into America saying, oh, I'm a Christian and I'm from Iran, so I'm being persecuted, and they'll accept them in. But someone who is genuinely asking for political protection, because Horst Mahler was sent to prison for political speech, for speaking politically incorrect speech, and that is the definition of a political prisoner seeking asylum, but you don't get it. If you're white, you will not get political asylum anywhere.
Well, I think the last place in Europe he could have ever got it was when Franco was in charge of Spain, just like after World War II, you know, a lot of these National Socialists managed to get into Spain. Some moved on, some stayed there, but they were safe there. I think that was the last country where National Socialism could find any any safety.
Well, you did an episode of the documentary on the Spanish Civil War as well, didn't you? Do you want to talk a little bit Franco?
Yeah, I mean, Franco, to me, one or two comments after were criticising him, but to me, he was in between a rock and a hard place. He'd just come off a back of a vicious civil war, didn't have the means of putting an army together to go fighting, although 85,000 volunteers were allowed to go into Russia with the Germans and the others. Consequently, at the end of the war, when everything collapsed and the communists were looking for retribution, he was the only country in Europe which allowed these National Socialists in and to settle there. I mean, one of them obviously was, what's he called? The Belgian.
Léon de Grel.
Léon de Grel stayed there all his life, yeah, for the rest of his life and was never in any harm.
Well, you've looked at a few of these as well that I didn't know much about. The Spanish Civil War and the Mexican Revolution as well.
Well, the Mexican Revolution was the biggest shock of all to me because I'm not a practicing Roman Catholic these days, but I am a Roman Catholic. And I'd never heard of this. And the fact that in 1915, laws were brought in by the Cali government in Mexico to outlaw the Catholic Church because they were a communist government. In fact, they were Freemasons. They were backed by the banks in America, the Freemasons there. And so consequently, for 3 years, there was a war going on down there that the world never heard of. And there were priests getting killed and Catholics, uprisings and battles and all sorts going on there. And it's all been swept under the carpet. Not unlike, may I say, the No-Hide laws, which were signed by Bush Senior. Very similar laws, which aren't active at the moment, but can be brought in at any time. And these laws in Mexico were never actually deleted. They were just put back on the shelf again. So they can be brought back in at any time. And there will be a day, I believe, when these laws in America and in Mexico, they'll all be back again.
It was part of the Constitution, wasn't it, in Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if it wasn't for the peasants fighting as they did, then I think the Catholic Church would have died in Mexico. But eventually Cali realized that he wasn't going to get his way and settled for just putting them on the back burner for another day.
Whereas another one, which is probably a little bit more well known in our circles, which was Stalin's white genocide that we did in June, and that was looking at the Holodomor. And you basically, what you've done with the new documentary series is draw these links between Spanish Civil War, Mexican Revolution, Stalin's with his Holodomor, the Boers, what happened with the Boers, and these French are connections. French Revolution. These are all connections that haven't really been made before. I mean, they're all subjects that we know a little bit about in our circles, but not that they're all connected.
That's right, and that is the secret to it all. They are all connected from the French Revolution down to the Russian Revolution. Like I said, the banks, I mean, if Schiff puts in $20 million and has a successful revolution, to me, Schiff doesn't hand that over to anybody. Schiff, you know, is part of the Rothschild cabal, and the Rothschild cabal from there on run the Soviet Union. And all their beliefs are exactly what the Bolshevik beliefs were. Hated Christianity, wanted to see the death of Christianity, wanted to see Europe under communism. And people were fooled by the fact that they thought there were two entities. They thought there were obviously the West who were fighting the Germans and the communists were fighting the Germans. And sometimes you get comments on YouTube where people say, we should have really fought with the communists. Well, we should have fought with the communists, but the problem was they were communists, the people in charge of America. And Patton found that out too late in life. He suffered with that one. He realised that communism was going to take over and they didn't want him returning to America as a proud military leader who may run for president. No. That ain't going to happen.
He also showed the links with the Masonic links as well and the fact that they were Masons that were all involved in this. And when you talk about the Bolshevik Revolution. I've mentioned this before as well. I mean, that goes right back to the Jews that were in Jerusalem. That the Romans, when they destroyed Jerusalem, there was a group of renegade Jews that were in there that were behaving exactly the same as the Bolsheviks did in the 20th century, dressing up as women, going out raping, buggering, starving people, torturing people, stealing everything. All the aristocracy, they totally ignored the fact that they were aristocracy, stole everything from them and killed them or turned them into slaves. And the idiots were basically raised up as being the spokesman for the people. And these robbers and vagabonds, they dressed up in the high priest's clothes and took over the temple. And it was basically exactly the same thing that we see happening in the Bolshevik Revolution, getting rid of all the intelligentsia and mocking all of it, really. And when the Roman soldiers ended up seeing that the temple was on fire, they had tears in their eyes at this marvel of the ancient world that was going up in flames. And the Jews just laughed. They couldn't care less because it wasn't their temple. There were these Canaanite vagabonds. And all the robbers from the whole area, all from around the Middle East, had gone into Jerusalem to join up with this gang of reprobates, basically.
Sounds like Bolshevism, doesn't it?
Well, and then when they got kicked out from there, they ended up going to Masada, and they got kicked out from there, and they eventually ended up influencing the Roman Empire until Constantine took power and made all these laws that prevented Jews from being able to operate as Jews. And then they moved to the north and ended up in Caesarea. And everywhere they've gone, they've started these revolutions. And Freemasonry, once they hooked up with Freemasonry traces itself back to Herod and Herod's temple. And Herod's temple is the one that these Jews were holed out in when the Romans were warring against them. So you got all these links there between Freemasonry, Jews, revolution, that people just really aren't that aware of. I mean, E. Michael Jones has done fantastic work on the impact that Judaism has had on the world through their revolutions.
But well, up until Napoleon emancipated them, then the Jews were under control. They were in their own ghettos. They were not allowed to move out of their areas because obviously whenever they did, they caused chaos. But once Napoleon had freed them all up, and he was a Freemason as well, and spent a night in one of the pyramids and etc., things started to take a turn for the worse. And obviously, from then on, they were free to do as they did. And I think we spoke about the protocols at one point as well, where everything is in the protocols more or less come to light there.
Well, that's just it, isn't it? You're told that these protocols are somehow a forgery or a fake, and yet everything that was written about in the protocols has quite clearly come to pass. And that's exactly what is going on. Whether that's a forgery or not, it depicts exactly what is going on, and it is Jews that are behind all of it. It's Jews that are in the media, Jews that are in the government, Jews that are in the banks, Jews that sponsor the Darwinists, people that promote evolution. I mean, even that is in the protocols.
Well, they're going to promote. I tend to think it is the Jews, but I also think there is a certain element of Satanism and Druidism and occultism, but definitely the Jews are at the forefront of it all. But all these are mixed in together at some point or other, doing what they do.
Well, that's the other thing that you've shown is the Luciferian doctrine, and the fact that a lot of these elites do worship Lucifer, and they're quite open about that, and yet people just think, well, I don't believe in it, so it doesn't matter. But the people at the top do.
Can I just say that the European Union, for instance, I don't believe that you can get to past a certain point without being a Luciferian, because that is the organisation as such. And when they're building in Strasbourg a replica of the Tower of Babel, it's not done for fun. These people have an agenda, and, this reason why they get rid of statues they don't like, they put up statues they want to, and that's one of, you couldn't be any more blatant than, a copy of the Tower of Babel.
Well, this is one of the things that gets me, Dennis. So it's quite obvious that the people in the EU are pagan. They're worshipping pagans. They're worshipping pagan gods. They have statues of pagan gods everywhere and pagan images everywhere. And they're the ones that are running things. They're the ones that are causing the white genocide, that are doing all of this. And the people that they worship are these pagan gods. So we should be worshiping the opposite. It's no good having our people talking about worshiping pagan gods.
No, because that's going to come anyway.
Yeah, well, these idols, they favour the people that are in charge. They don't favour us.
Right.
They're the ones on the enemy's side. And surely it must be quite clear to see that, because they're the ones that are in power. And that's not to say if we start worshipping them, we'll get in power. It's just saying that's the ones that they choose to honour.
Yeah. There's no God in that institution. No one's ever questioning that, because there's no opposition. I mean, once over the Vatican would have been in opposition to Freemasonry, but that's been overtaken and infiltrated and it's now been run by the City of London. So there's no one ever going to come out and say anything different. They're all going to agree. The Pope agrees with a new world order. And sadly, that's the only means of opposition mentioning is us.
I think one of the statues they have a statue of Zeus as a bull with Europa as a woman. And Zeus was supposed to have raped the bull or raped the woman. Something. Well, Zeus was a bull. He was in the image of the bull and he raped the woman. Yeah. And they've got the statue there outside. And that's just one of many of these statues
blatant.
That they choose to honour.
Absolute blatant. You won't find a cross outside or a crucifix. Tell you now.
Well, you'll find all these Freemasonic symbols as well. And the Freemasonic stuff is the same as the Kabbalah. It's the same as the Gnostic stuff. So people that are interested in Gnosticism, the roots of that are in the Kabbalah. It's in Jewish mysticism. It's all linked up, and it's what the enemy uses. If we want to win, we need to use the opposite.
Yeah, what's crazy, what's crazy is the fact that we've allowed... Western countries in Europe have allowed secret societies in the countries. Now, there's nothing more, I can't think of anything more stupid than a country allowing secret societies to go ahead in the countries. It's just beyond all belief. But apparently the governments must have been in on it, otherwise it would have never happened, surely. But we've got countries with secret societies in them, where ordinary people like me and you are told, oh, don't worry about it, because you can join if you want, because you'll meet up with some good business mates and you'll get make some good contacts. You know, it's not what you think. But it is what you think. It's a secret society in a country. It's crazy.
Well, I think back in Greece, in Athens, in classical Greece, and in Rome as well, you weren't allowed to have private meetings in your home, because that was seen as conspiring against everybody else. Because it wasn't being said out in the open. It wasn't being said out in the open in the public square where everybody can hear, everybody can debate on it and see what's going on. And so if you were meeting inside, you were conspiring against the public. And we've gone from that to allowing open secret societies that operate.
Which is why we got rid of them.
Blatantly, with oaths and some of these oaths that they make.
Oaths, yeah.
To not grass on one another, not to inform on one another. If they do, they'll have their throats slit and they'll be strung up at the beach and drowned to death and all these horrific things. And our politicians are members of these groups.
Well, look at the Statue of Liberty these days. Totally different eyes than what I used to look at it. I mean, that is a statue of ISIS sent by French Freemasons.
Yeah, and look at what it says under it. Send all your useless refuse and waste. Send it over here to America. Never was a truer word said.
But it runs deep, and it runs really deep, and that's why the series has been really enlightening.
Yeah, it's a great series. Well, we're about halfway through here, Dennis. I think we'll leave that here. We've got up to about June, and what we can do is we can go through the other 6 months next week, I guess. So, have a happy new year.
I will try.
Sunday night. I hope you're feeling better. You certainly sound well enough tonight anyway. I think you've been on.
Well, I wanted to tonight, to be honest, because I felt it was it'll been a while.
Excellent. And thank you very much, listeners, for listening. And we'll be back next Friday with another edition of Truth Will Out Radio for you. And we hope you all have a wonderful New Year's Eve and a prosperous new year ahead of you.
Tuned in to Radio Aryan.